So opening our hearts, opening our scriptures to Luke chapter 12. We're midway through the chapter. One of the themes, of course, just to remind you that Jesus teaches us in this great passage of scripture is a focus on the things that are important and stop focusing on the things that are unimportant. If you focus on the things that are unimportant, you end up living a life of worry, and I know so many want to do that, of stress, and I know so many just want to be stressed out, of anxiety. And so Jesus says, and we looked at this scripture last Wednesday, and then we actually brought it back on the weekend, and I'm going to bring it back one more time because I just love what it says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 22 when it says, Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Let's not emphasize the things of this world. In fact, he says that we should seek first the kingdom. We should put the kingdom first. Remember, we talked about that last time we were together. Verse 31, he says, seek first the kingdom. And we seek the kingdom by blessing others like we just did who are not as fortunate, by loving people that God loves with our resources, with our efforts, and we bless the kingdom of God. Verse 31 says that we should seek first the kingdom of God, and then it will be God's good pleasure to pour back into us. These are verses we looked at last time. Verse 33 says that we should give to those who are in need. We should lay up treasures. It's just ringing a little bit. Is it ringing? Can you hear it? It's ringing. Can you stop that, or I'll change mics? Testing. Still ringing? Yeah, it's ringing a little bit. I can hear it. It's going to bother me. I'm so ADD, I've got to have stuff that works or I just get off. I'll go back to this one. Okay, this one probably won't ring. Yeah, that was not as ringy. So where was I? That's how ADD I am. See, I'm just a little bit and I get off and there I go. So we were talking about how we're to lay up in heaven treasures, verse 33. And with that as a backdrop, Jesus says, verse 34, and then we'll get into the new verse. He says in verse 34 that where your treasure is, your heart is. So what we want to talk about is getting your heart in the right place. And if I could give you one word that will kind of take us through to this today's teaching, it would be expectation. Could I hear you say expectation? I wish everyone in this place was filled with incredible expectation that Jesus would show up and he would do mighty things because that's what he desires to do. And so keep that in mind as we move through the words of Jesus, continuing in Luke chapter 12. And here's what he says in verse 35, a short little verse, but we'll pause after these short commercial break.
Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning.
Okay, what do you think that's about? Let your waist be girded and keep your lamps bright. It literally means, you know, in that day they wore different clothing than we wear now. They had robes, and if you've ever worn a robe, they're hard to run in. Olympics, you don't see them run in robes. So to gird up your waist was to hike up your robe, tuck it into your waist. Why? Why would you do that? Because you are getting ready to run. You are ready for something to happen. So if you felt there was going to be something going on, you would gird up your loins, you would gird up your waist, you would, and have your light ready to go. If I was saying it today, let's paraphrase this verse, it would be, put your sneakers on and keep your car keys in your hand. What did he say? He says, okay, be ready for something to happen. Expectation. I would say it to you, be ready for something to happen, even while we're together in this place right now, something unusual. Let's just expect that Jesus would show up. I want to talk about expecting Jesus to come. And of course, I want to talk about expecting him to come physically. But the way we prepare,
for Jesus to come physically is by constantly expecting him to come spiritually. If you constantly expect Jesus to show up spiritually and do incredible things, you won't be surprised when he shows up physically. You'll just go, hey, there you are. So if even today you are in a spirit of expectation that Jesus is here, Jesus could show up. I've got my waist girded up. I've got my light ready to go. Something could happen. So he's setting the stage for us to live on the edge of our seats. I would have all of you scoot forward right now. You don't have to do that, but that's what I want. Just like on the edge of your, like, okay, something could happen. Let's be ready for it. Have your waist girded. Have your lights trimmed, light ready to go. Verse 36.
And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately.
37.
Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them.
So be ready, be expecting the master to show up. Who is our master?
Jesus.
Yes, he is. Expect him to show up, because he's going to be knocking on your door. I would say this. Jesus is here right now, and I promise you he's doing what he said he would do in the Revelation. He's knocking at your door right now. And are you expecting him to do that? And when he knocks at your door, are you ready to open the door? If you're busy in the kitchen doing something else, busy worrying, busy being distracted by things, you'll miss his knock. But he says, no, be ready. Be coming to church, edge of your seat kind of service, going, he's here. He could knock at my door and something incredible could happen. And notice what he does. Notice what he does. When he comes into your space, into that moment of expectation, he comes to bless you. The first verse we read was us girding up our waist. But when the master comes in, he girds his waist. Why would he do that? Because that's how you serve. The robe also was an inconvenience. When Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, it says that he had to get his robe out of the way. And so the servant, when they were going to serve, they would also gird up their waist. So we gird up our waist in expectation. When we open our lives to his presence, to his power, he comes in and he always leaves you better when you expect him to show up and you let him come in. Because he comes in as the divine servant to bless you. If you could only be so aware that he's here right now. He's knocking right now. And whatever you've been through today, whatever you need, he's here right now to come in, gird up, and bless you with his presence and with his power. If you believe it, you can receive it. Do you have expectation? Are you ready for the master to show up? And if you're always waiting for the master to show up, and he keeps showing up spiritually, and he keeps showing up spiritually, and he keeps showing up, keeps doing things spiritually, then when he comes physically, and I promise you he's coming physically, you won't be surprised. Because you'll be in such constant fellowship with him, he won't catch you by surprise. And in this chapter, he's trying to say, that's where I'd like my people to live, so that they're not caught off guard. They're not caught by surprise. Next few verses tell us that.
And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into.
So the Jewish people had three watches of the night. The first watch would be from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. That was the first watch of the night. The second watch, which is mentioned here, is between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. And not many of you have guests come to visit you at 2 a.m. We had one last night.
Yes, we did.
She was coming back from Canada. She was up there for Canadian Thanksgiving. There's some boy up there that she just is crazy about. And she flew up there, and then she came back, and she got in late at night. And so we knew she was going to come.
He's talking about our daughter. He's not talking about me, okay? Our daughter, Charity.
It never even crossed my mind that you would have another boyfriend up in Canada.
You just kind of flung your arm toward me. I just wanted to clarify in case people, it's their first time here.
Okay, just to be clear, my wife does not have a boyfriend in Montreal. We have a daughter that does have a boyfriend and came in during the second watch of the night. The third watch of the night went from 2 a.m. till 6 a.m. in the morning. So Jesus is saying the only kind of people that may come at that time of the night could be a thief. And the thief's intention is to catch you unawares, to catch you like last night when our midnight visitor came, our second watch of the night girl came in, not my wife, but my daughter came in. She sleeps very light. I have the gift of sleep, and because I know Darla will wake up for everything, so I don't have to. So I figure if someone's going to wake up, might as well let her do that. I slept right through like a baby. And in the morning, she says, "Did you hear her come in?" I said, "No, I see her car is out there in the driveway, so I know she made it back in, but I did not. I was not disturbed. I was not disturbed." But Jesus is saying, "Hey." One of those nights, okay. Jesus is saying, in the second watch, the thief may come and catch, but what he wants you and me to not be caught unawares. He wants us to be filled with, what's the word? Expectation. So that we're expecting him. And what I'm trying to say clearly is that if you expect him in every service, if you expect him in every devotional time, if you expect him to show up every day, when he eventually shows up, you're going to say, "Oh, welcome." Because you're so much in fellowship with his spirit all the time. It's the people that don't do that, they're going to be caught unawares. And Jesus is trying to get you into the place of holy expectation. Therefore, verse 40, here's the main point. He sums it up. Therefore, here's what we're talking about. This is why we've been saying these things. Therefore, you also be ready. Have expectation, for the Son of Man, which is Jesus, is coming at an hour that you don't expect. And the way for him to come in an hour that you do expect is that you expect him. So he's just saying, hey, some people are going to be caught unawares, but don't let that be you. And then Peter says, is this message just for like us disciples, or is it like for the general population of believers? Next verse.
And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season?
Verse 41, Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable to us only or to all the people? Then the passage that Darla read.
Well, you had already read that.
No, I didn't read it. I just spoke it out. I did not read. Okay. The answer is to Peter's burning question. Be ready, and it's not just for the disciples, it's for all of the believers, including the believers who are here. He says, if you are faithful, is there anyone faithful? If you want to be wise, then this is for you, that the Lord will come, and those who are faithful and who are expecting it will be ready to receive it. When you come to any gathering, including this gathering, with a spirit of expectation, you actually get more out of the service, and you're already here, so you're already here. If you have a spirit of expectation, you will walk out with more if you're expecting Jesus to show up. If you're expecting to feel his hand on your heart, if you're expecting, it's much better to get something out of the service than to just go through a service. Have you ever endured a church service? Not, well, some other church somewhere, sometime, but somewhere. But a spirit of expectation means that you will receive. And he's saying, this is for all the people that want to be faithful, be full of faith, all the people that are ready to be open. So Peter, the answer is anyone. Yes, Peter, for you, but for all of the believers. Verse 43.
Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes.
44.
Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has.
Now get the correlation between these two verses. If you have a spirit of expectation, if you're ready, even in this moment, for Jesus to show up and do something amazing in your life, that's the kind of person that's going to receive the blessing. Verse 43 says, if you're expecting, you're blessed. Blessed is the servant whose master finds so doing what? Full of expectation, waiting for his coming, because those are the ones that he makes the ruler over all he has. Those are the people that he says, hey, the kingdom of God, it's yours. The provisions you need, it's yours. Whatever you need in this gathering right here, right now, it's yours, because the source and the supply is present and you're open to his presence. If you don't live like that, well, you actually could be in God's place and be around God and be around Jesus and miss out on the blessing. It's expectation, or another word for faithful, trusting, looking with anticipation, that unlocks and brings in the blessings of God. And he's, verse 43, first word, blessed. And then verse 44, he gives you all that he has. But if that servant is saying, and there are some in some churches somewhere, they're going, you know what? It's been such a long time. Because they're only looking for the physical coming of Jesus. That's why I'm trying to encourage you to look for the spiritual coming of Jesus all the time. Prepares you for his physical coming. And then you're not ripped off. Some people go, oh, you know, it's just been so long. It's 2016. And they were talking about the coming of Christ when I was a kid. And he hasn't shown up yet. And I go, he showed up today. He showed up on the weekend. He showed up in Wednesday worship. He's here right now. So it's not like you if you live with that kind of expectation, you're more in tune. So let's read what the warning that Jesus gives to those who would like miss out by becoming dull to this truth that he's trying to teach to us.
But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers.
Okay, so when you kind of get dull in your expectation, havoc breaks out in your life. When you're not in tune with the expected presence of Jesus, you start to treat each other badly. You see that? He says, you end up, like, not that I've ever beaten Darla. I want to be very clear about that. But I'm not going to start. It's not my, those are not, I've got issues, but those are not my issues. I thought an amen would be really good at this point, honey. This would be a place for it. But, let me go to a different kind of illustration on this one. When my parents would go out for the evening and I was a little Scot, if we felt like they were going to be long in coming home, all hell could break out at our house. My two younger brothers, I was like in prayer and in devotions, and they would just rip the house apart. And I'd be saying, guys, no, please, 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 please. No. Anyway, it could be bad. But as the hour got closer to their soon appearing, it was amazing how peaceful we became. An expectation of the master's presence influences the way we treat each other, the decisions we're going to make, the stress level we have, If you knew Jesus was going to come today or tomorrow, you would treat people nicer. You would make wise choices. So it's actually very healthy for the church of Jesus to live in a spirit of expectation, both for Jesus to show up today spiritually. But if he chose to show up today physically, hallelujah. I'm ready for that. And so that causes us to live in a gentler, more peaceful way with that expectation. Otherwise, you see the result of not living like that. There's punishment, there's wounds that are inflicted, and you end up with the unbelievers. So we want to end up with an eternity with God rather than an eternity without God. And the way we end up in an eternity with God is live for God every day, expect him to come, live in his grace, live in his presence, and just welcome him all the time into our lives. So don't get caught. Again, Jesus is saying, have expectation, don't get caught. Verse 47.
And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes.
Okay, listen to these verses very carefully, because I want you to listen and I'm going to unpack them. So you see, there's the one that says, I know my master's will. Like, so right now I'm saying, be filled with expectation. That's his will. Okay, you know it, but you don't do it. There's punishment. I'm going to talk about that.
But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, on him they will ask the more.
So if you live in a spirit of expectation, as we already have gone through, and Jesus said, those are the people that he calls blessed. Those are the people he's going to give all the kingdom. But here we have people that know that, but don't do anything about it. Now, the punishment is not just God hitting you with a stick. This is not God's great desire to hit people with sticks. But say you're in this place and you are a 20-something. Say you're 20 years old today. Say it's your birthday today. You just turned 20. And you hear this message about living in expectation. And when you live in expectation and Jesus shows up, he blesses you, and you started living that way for the next decade, the next two decades, the next three decades. What if you live that way for four or five decades and you had incredible expectation, and for that expectation came incredible blessings? You would be blessed. But what if you were 20-something and you heard it right now and you lived, I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be one of those people. I'm not going to live. I'm going to live with expectation. You would literally now take those 40 years of blessing that you don't get. That's the whack you get. Now, if you're 20-something here today, your 20th birthday, and you're not part of the service, or you're so tuned out, you don't even know what I'm saying. That does happen. So you don't know this truth. Then you don't know. So you don't know to expect good things. So you're going to live your next whatever years without God anyway. So you never could have got those blessings because you didn't know the truth to begin with. But wherever you are in your journey, some of you are older than 20, wherever you are in your journey, once you start putting this into practice, you can accumulate rather than be at a loss. You see how that works? So if you're 40-something, 50-something, 60-something, 70-something, 80-something, it's like investments. Start today. It's like financial investors will say, when are you going to start? Well, some other, no, start today. Have an expectation today. Let God show up today so that you can accumulate those blessings rather than missing out on those blessings. And because you have heard this truth right now, you have received this, so you now have a greater possibility, which is what he says. So a lot is required of you because now you have heard this lesson. So I expect you to live incredibly blessed lives.
Amen.
Expect them. On the weekend, expect Jesus to show up. On Wednesdays, in your devotions, expect Jesus to show up. Expect him to bring you the blessings of the kingdom. So Jesus comes. Now listen to this portion. We'll read from 49 through to 53. It's the coming of Jesus and how some people choose this life. of living with Christ and live in expectation. And some people, sometimes even living under the same roof, choose not to.
I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism.
I'll just jump in there just for a moment. I think what he's talking about is the fire that was poured out on the day of Pentecost. He said, people are going to receive, and I wish I was already, but I have to go through my baptism first, which is the baptism of the cross, before I can come to the point of pouring my Holy Spirit out. So just to put those verses in context, that's not the main point, but I didn't want you to miss out. That's what I think he's talking about.
But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, 5 in one house will be divided, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3. Father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
And some of you live in this reality where you're expecting Jesus to show up. Some of your family members know you're expecting Jesus to show up, and they think you're crazy. You're expecting Jesus to show up, and they just don't get it. Because basically, there are people that believe and embrace this teaching of Jesus, and there are people that choose not to. And because they choose not to, it creates a division, sometimes inside families, households. Now, we pray with you that the light would turn on, that they would become a person of expectation. But some of you live under that right now. When I was a youth pastor, I experienced this more because we would have many kids that would come in, and they would become alive in Christ, like we do in our youth ministry here. We have a lot of kids that come, and their family members just, they don't know how to relate to them. Because I had one parent say to me, I'd rather my kid be on drugs. I'd know how to handle that. But they're on Jesus, and I don't know anything about that. It's just so foreign. They had no frame of reference. At least they understood drugs, because they had experience in drugs. So that house was divided, and sometimes when Christ comes and some person receives and some person doesn't, that divides the house. So Jesus is saying, okay, but that doesn't diminish our responsibility to live with expectation and continue in the ways of the Lord and continue expecting God to show up and do great things in our lives. And hopefully by them seeing the great things that God does in our lives, they will be influenced for the kingdom of God. But if you're under that, if you're a brother or a sister that's here, and Jesus just talked about your house, hey, he understands that that would happen, and he's for you. He's with you in the midst of all of that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, okay. And so it is.
So he's just saying that when you live with a spirit of expectation, you'll start to see stuff and not miss stuff. And he'll use two natural not meteoric, when the weather, weather sign, the word is not coming to me. Two natural signs like red sky in morning, sailor stake warning. We know how to read those. And in the west would be the Mediterranean. So he said, when you see a cloud forming in the west, you know it's going to be laden down with water. And if it's coming this way, you're able to go, okay, I'm expecting some water to show up, because when that cloud hits the mountains and the cool air, it's going to rain. Or the next illustration is about hot air coming up from the south. Go ahead with that one.
And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be a hot weather, and there is.
So you can if you're watching the signs and expecting, you'll start seeing stuff happen. Now, some people are able to be in the same place, and they can see God doing amazing things. Sometimes people attend the same church and people go, oh, it's so amazing what God is doing all around here. I can't believe all the things that are happening. It's so incredible what's going on. And the other person's going, I don't see God doing anything. And Jesus is going, hey, it's because you're not looking for it. You know how to do it with the weather, but you're not doing it with my word. You're missing out. So you can be in the same place, the same community. Some one person can say, we're all going to hell in a handbasket, and the other person is seeing the revival of the Holy Spirit. I want to be with the revival of the Holy Spirit people. So I want to have expectation. I want to be believing that in this generation, God is going to pour out his Holy Spirit on the sons and the daughters, that God is going to do a new thing in our midst, that God's going to do some incredible. I want to be one of those people that's going, okay, I see a cloud. Something's happening. Something good is going to happen so that we don't miss out on it. Hypocrites, he says, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. How is it you can't discern the time that I'm telling you about? How is it you can't be filled with expectation of my appearing and ready for me to appear? So, as we live in expectations, be looking for the good stuff to happen. And then one last piece of advice, as you live with expectation for Christ's return, don't be fighting with the people around you. Just practical advice here. While we're so excited about what Jesus is doing, we still have to live with each other. Amen? Yep. How many of you live around people almost every day? And so how many of you find it an incredible challenge every day? So we're just saying, okay, while you're expecting Jesus to show up, and Jesus, just live at peace with people. Even if they're your adversaries, live at peace with them as best you can. And we'll read to the end of the chapter.
Yes, and why, even of yourselves, do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge. The judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite.
Life is just too short to spend fussing and fighting with people when you should be expecting Jesus. So he's just saying, even while you're walking, even while they're taking you to court, just be going, hey, maybe we could we settle this? Could we find a way? Can we get together on this one? Maybe we could avoid the court system? Can we make it right? He's just saying, now you can't do it with everybody because people are sometimes really strange, and you can't be up. He just, as best you can, live at peace with people, because that actually helps the blessing of the Lord and the work of the Lord go forward even better. So just, brothers and sisters, don't fight with each other. Brothers and sisters, expect Jesus to show up today. Expect him before you go to bed tonight. And if he doesn't show up physically and you receive him spiritually, you'll be blessed anyway. You won't go to bed, oh no, today wasn't the day. No, you'll go to bed going, oh, Jesus, it was so great. You came into my heart. You filled me with your spirit. You helped me with that jerk. I made peace with them because you just, oh, you helped me to love them, and you helped me over here, and you won't feel ripped off. So you get sort of weary in well-doing, waiting for the coming of Christ, because he's showing up in your life every day. So when he finally comes, and he is coming, he'll just go, oh, Jesus, I've been waiting. It's just so good. It'll be so natural. And he won't catch you unawares, which is what he doesn't want to do with his church. So he warns us, don't become so tuned out to his presence that when he shows up, it catches you unaware, like in the middle of the night. He said, I want you to be aware that I'm coming, and I want you to be receiving me really all the time, because when you expect good things, he says, you're blessed, and I give you the things of the kingdom. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. Let's stand together for prayer. And Father, we really are expecting. We're expecting that Jesus, who is here now knocking at our heart's door, would come in, because we're just reopening, some for the first time maybe, and some for the first time in a long time, because we just don't want religion. We just don't want to come and read Scripture. We want the Spirit that brought the Scriptures to us to fill us, the very Spirit of Jesus, which is the Spirit of prophecy, to fill us now with the presence of God. so that we would just experience you, Lord, and that you would do your work. You would gird up your waist, and you would come in as the divine servant, and you would do exactly what you need to do in my heart. You would do exactly what you need to do in my sister's heart. You would do exactly what you need to do in the young people's heart. You would do exactly what is needed in your church, God, because this place, it's yours. It belongs to you. And we would pray, God, that you would have your way. We expect you, God, to show up, and we expect you to do mighty things. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray together. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Good to be together, brothers and sisters. Be at peace with God and be at peace with each other. Amen.